we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I hope you are having a wonderful day. You are listening to WMIE 91.5 FM, 8:30 to 9 o'clock, or if you're listening from 5 to 5:30, that's a rebroadcast on the way home, or you might be listening WWBC 1510 AM. And that is also a rebroadcast of this. So however you are choosing to listen, we are glad that you did. So today we want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. And we want to encourage you to give them a call if you need help with any of your AC repairs. You want to make sure that you're up and running. I know what it is like to have an AC that doesn't work. And I also know what it is like to have Bill Andrike from Creative AC Solutions come and get us up and running and back in cool. So I tell people a lot of times if our AC happens to go out, it tends to go out on Sunday morning. I'll be in there on Saturday. It'll be working fine. Over the night, something happens. And come in Sunday morning, and Bill gets us up and running. He is a great AC guy and a wonderful brother in Christ, and I encourage you to give him a call, 759-3284, if he can be a blessing to you. We are going to have our youth night tonight and our adult Bible study at 7. We want to encourage you to come and be a part of that. Food starts at 6 for the kids. Their classes start at 6:30, and then the adult worship starts at 7, and we will be done roughly around 7:45 with that. So if that is something that you can avail yourself of, this is the week of high school graduations, and kids will be getting out of school en masse next week. And so be careful of the kids out there, especially when tests are going on. There's a lot of early dismissal every Wednesday. So be careful when you're traveling the roads out there, and your kids and grandkids will be thankful that you did. Want to remind you also about our 65th anniversary service. I hope that you hear it so much that you put it on your calendar and come and be a part of what God is going to do. Jerry Hill is going to be with us sharing the word of God Saturday night, 6:30 p.m., June the 10th, and Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m., and we are really looking forward to what God is going to do as we celebrate the past 65 years of ministry and look forward to what God is going to do in the future. So come and be a part of that. Put that on your calendar and join us in praying for a mighty move of the Holy Spirit of God. So, today I'm going to do something a little bit differently. Yesterday we finished Isaiah chapter 62, but I want to reference an article. This is an article that goes back to April the 8th of this year. It was written anonymously. It was written by a young lady in England or Great Britain, and the title of this article is "Losing My Religion: What I Lost and Gained When I Gave Up God." And the picture of the article shows a person with a cross on their back that they have literally turned their back on God. And so I want to share this with you to give you some insight into what this woman said was the process that led to her turning her back on her relationship with Jesus that she was raised with. She was raised in a Christian home. And so I'm not going to read the whole article, but let me just read you a few statistics that it mentions here at that it mentions here at the beginning. Religion is on a steady decline in Britain. For a country that was once ruled by Protestantism, today only 30% of Britons say they have faith. 30%. And so this article is written by a 27-year-old woman who was raised a devout evangelical Christian, but lost her faith. It says during her late teens, but that was when the journey began. And so I've got a few things that I want to highlight. And the reason that I want to share this is not to glorify this woman, but to let you know that the devil is willing to take a long process in your life and in my life. And there are seemingly minor things that can take place. And as a result of that, there can be an erosion of people's faith that has detrimental consequences. And the article starts off with this line: losing God was like losing my father, my hope, and my purpose. And so this woman, as she writes this article, continues to have that same rather dark mindset towards society and towards her status in life. It begins by describing that she was raised with a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. She was raised to have a personal encounter with God. She was, according to this article, she was either Pentecostal or charismatic. It doesn't identify the church specifically. It said that summer Christian camp was part of her upbringing. It was something that she always looked forward to. And it was at one of those camps that she had first had an encounter with God. It said that when her mother put her to bed at night, that her mother would pray in tongues over her when she went to bed, that she was praying for her. She wanted her daughter to grow up in the faith, and so she was raised in church, and sometimes there would be thousands of people experiencing the outpouring of the presence of God. So that's the upbringing that she had. And then I've just got some highlights here. So I think I told you the name of the article: Losing My Religion, What I Lost and Gained When I Gave Up God. One of the things that it mentions here is that the church that she went to did not teach about absolutes. So on the one hand, she talks about how strict they were, but on the other hand, it talks about that there wasn't much in the way of absolutes. It describes that her church was a pretty progressive church that did not give specific rules. And there seemed to be a disconnect in boys' behavior and girls' behavior. But it said that while she was at camp, there were always more girls there than boys, and that the Christian boys were kind of rude to the girls. And so she found that non-Christian boys treated her better than the Christian young men did. I think that needs to change. I think we need to teach our young men how they should treat young ladies. I was talking with a young man one time, and he said, "Well, how do you treat your daughter?" And I said, I treat her like a child of the King." And so my daughters are looking for people who are passionately in love with Jesus. That's what they're looking for. And so they're not looking for someone that'll treat them like a jerk. They treat them like a jerk, and then they get to deal with me, and nobody wants to see that. So this young lady describes that besides the interaction with the church, that there wasn't any teaching on absolutes, that her decline, her journey away from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ began with this. This is her article. Now, this is written by somebody who says that they were a Christian and they aren't a Christian. And so I'm just highlighting the things in the article, the points, so that you can see how dangerous it is. It said that her journey, one of the first things that was involved in her journey away from faith was when she started drinking alcohol. And right now there could be great silence across the airwaves, because there is a lot of teaching that says, well, there's nothing wrong with this, or with having some social drinking and all of that. There's just a problem with getting drunk and all of that. The scripture says that wine is a mocker, beer is a brawler, and that those who participate them with those things are not wise. So I don't want wine to mock me. I don't want beer to cause me to be fighting all of the time. I don't want it ruining my health, and so I don't want to participate those things. But this young lady, 27 years old, says that it was the first step away from Jesus when she started looking to alcohol instead of looking to Jesus. Okay? And so after that, then there was the treatment with the boys, and so she began to test the boundaries there, although she did not have sex in this article until much later. It describes her as that she began to test the boundaries. So one of the things was her big test of boundary was she started dating non-Christians instead of Christians. I hope you see what the reason why I'm talking about this today is, because this young lady's journey away from faith follows a tried and true pattern. These things are things that happen a lot. And so she began to hang around with unbelievers and started dating unbelievers. And it led to a breakdown with Christian relationships. And as a result of that, she felt like their love was conditional instead of unconditional, because they did not endorse her decisions. I want you to know that my parents, when I was being raised, made it very clear if my decisions or my actions did not meet their expectations, but I never felt like they didn't love me. And so she started drinking. She started testing the boundaries with relationships. And then, if you would care to guess what the next step was she began to slip into abusing drugs and alcohol. And, you know, very rarely do you start at a point further down the line. There's almost always a progressive deterioration of standards. And she describes in this article how she would be so drunk or so high that she would make jokes to her parents that she was just clumsy, but she was really just covering up the fact that she wasn't sober. And so then she graduated. And I will tell you this, for those of you who have kids that are graduating, you need to make sure you have this discussion, because secular universities are a very hostile place for men and women of faith. You had better know what you believe, and you'd better be able to give an account for it, and you had better be able to withstand the persecution and the harassment that comes as a result of your belief system being countercultural to the atheism or the secularism on the college campus. Now, we believe in ministry on college campuses. It is one of the great mission fields here in America. Not only is it a home missions field, but it is a foreign missions field because we have so many foreign students that come from all over the world to attend our universities over here. And so we have missions programs that are designed to reach out to young people, both born here in America and born overseas, so that they are able to surround themselves with other believers. Bad company corrupts good character. I can only assume that good character or good company affects in a positive manner good character. And so they help one another grow in their faith. They discover how to walk in power and in love. And so this woman describes that when she went to the university, that the only thing that she was left clinging to at that point in time that made her identify as a Christian was the fact that she still had not had sex. She was still a virgin. And so she began to investigate. She started dating, and she looked up an article and said, she Googled, what if you're a Christian and you lose your virginity? And she said, the article said, you're very likely to lose your faith. And she said, well, that's okay. That's a reasonable consequence because it's not going to happen to me. But it did. It did. You see, the devil is very good at concealing the consequences of our action. And I'm telling you that when I read this woman's article, when I read the story, I was thinking very much about Samson. And Samson wasn't supposed to touch a dead body, and Samson wasn't supposed to drink anything or eat anything that came from the vine, and Samson wasn't supposed to cut his hair. He was supposed to have held on to those three things, but one by one he sacrificed them until finally he revealed his innermost heart to Delilah and said, no razor has ever come upon my hair. And it was at that point in time that the Spirit of the Lord departed. And Samson didn't know it. And he said, I will just go out and I will shake myself like I've done before. And he did not know that the Spirit of the Lord was departed. He was captured. His eyes were poked out. They cut off his hair and they made a mockery of him. They put him in bondage and they used him to tread their grain. And he was humiliated and he was living in darkness. And this woman began to have that journey. And so it said, after that last departure from faith, I was forced to confront my feelings about religion. I didn't go to church. I didn't believe in God. And now I wasn't a virgin. So what was I? She said, I'd black out for a day and lock myself in a room and cry. I felt lost. When you have faith, it forms your entire worldview. And so here she was at 20 years old, and now she's coming face to face with her own self and her mortality. And she said, it wasn't one act that brought me to this place. It happened over a course of 6 or 7 years. So I want to encourage, you know, any young people that might be listening, any parents that might be listening, that if you find yourself somewhere on that journey, stop. If you as a parent are showing your kids that it's okay for social drinking, Would you revisit that? Would you pray and ask God and say, God, is this something that I've accepted, or would you like me to deal? I'm not here to beat you up with condemnation. I'm just here to sound the alarm like one of the watchmen that I talked about on an earlier broadcast, because I don't want your kids ending up there. See, before I was a pastor, I was a youth pastor, and there's no cure for being a youth pastor. Once you're a youth pastor and you fall in love with young people and seeing them have an encounter with God, you want the very best for them. And I'm blessed that a number of the kids that that I served as youth pastor for, that a number of them are still thriving in their faith. But I also can tell you, some of them are not. Some of them committed suicide. Some of them died in manners in which was not glorifying to God. I've seen successes and I've seen failures. And so as we are approaching graduation, I want to sound the alarm and say, if you find yourself on that journey, I want you to know that that slide of deterioration spiritually, it's got too high of a price tag, and you need to stop. You need to say, God, would you come and rescue me? And he is able. His arm is not too short to reach down and pluck you out of that miry clay and set you on a path that you would find much more desirable. Amen. Amen. This person said that they felt like that things were dictated to them instead of being taught how to think. And so, you know, when I read that, that's the synopsis there. I thought of a situation I was in recently where I was with a person that was in their 20s, and we were working on a project, and I didn't get the opportunity. It was kind of a hit and miss opportunity, but I wanted to say, do you want me to tell you what to do, or would you like me to teach you how to think about this process? And parents, I want you to know, your kids need to be taught how to think and evaluate things from the perspective of the Word of God, not from their emotions and not from peer pressure and not from parental pressure. They just need to be taught the Word of God. And so if you've got little kids and you're listening today, please get them into church. Please worship with them. Let them see you worshiping God. Let them see you living out your faith. Here is the conclusion of this article. These are her words. I'm going to read these last two paragraphs. There are major positives to losing my faith. I don't carry around guilt in the same way, particularly about my sexuality. And I think that's freeing. Like a weight has been lifted. I also feel able to treat other people in the way I want to treat them. Okay. And so for her, a positive is she doesn't feel guilty anymore. Can I tell you what the Bible describes that as? It describes that as a seared conscience. You see, I don't want to be able to get by with my sin. I would much rather have God deal with me and my sin than I would to be so brazen about it that I don't feel guilty about it. And then she describes that she went even deeper into sin than what she had been before. And here's the final paragraph. And this is what gives me hope. And yet, the strange thing is, I'd say I was happier before I lost my religion. When you're a Christian, as long as your personal relationship with God is good, as long as you apologize, I would say repent, for anything you've done wrong, then you're headed to heaven. Everything else is temporary. But now, if things are bad, they're just bad. If they're unfair, they're just unfair. You can't console yourself with the thought that everything is part of God's wider test or plan. You just have to think, this is probably it. I probably have X numbers of existence until I die, and then I'm gone. Sometimes I miss the idea of eternal bliss. The good news is that Jesus does want to have a personal relationship with you, that God is good, And he doesn't just want you to apologize. He wants you to repent. Apologies are just words that cross your lips. Repentance is a change of direction, a change of action, and a change of motive. When I sinned, I did it because my heart was hard towards God and I was running away from him. But when I repent, I pursue God with a greater intensity than I pursued the sin that I was running from. I repent because I don't want to grieve the heart of God, and I don't want to experience the full ramifications of the sin that the devil has enticed me to pursue. So I encourage you today that if you are on this journey, or maybe you're a parent that's listening today, and you've got kids that are on this journey, repent. I can tell you this. If you're a parent and you are able to repent and you're able to say to your kids, I'm sorry, would you please forgive me? That will speak volumes to them. And then your destination is no longer an eternity apart from God. Your eternity is to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. Today, if you're tired of, like this woman says, now, after having lost her faith, if things are bad, they're just bad. If they're unfair, they're just unfair. And it's just a number of days until you are blotted out of existence. I want you to know that doesn't have to be the way that you do life. Let your relationship with Jesus form your worldview, that you were born at exactly the time that Jesus wanted you born, for the purpose that he had for you, for him to come and live in your heart, for him to forgive you of your sins, empower you to live a godly life. Today, I want to encourage you, don't sacrifice your faith in God for anything. Young people, if you're listening to me, parents, if you have this broadcast and you want to play it for your kids, I want you to know that God's plan is a wonderful plan. You're not going to be sacrificing pleasure to become a Christian. You are going to be gaining joy. You are going to be sacrificing heartache and misery and abuse and pain and destruction. That's what you would be sacrificing when you say yes to Jesus. He wants to come in and lead you in the path of righteousness for his namesake. I encourage you, don't go out and sow wild oats, as they say out in the country, but instead sow good seed, reap a wonderful life, the life that Jesus has planned for you. Father, I pray that young people today would be guarded in their faith. In Jesus' name, see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.